for sure.
Yeah, like three fingers is always kind of like, yeah, perfect. But I mean, you can get up right up on it if you really want to.
You know what we should make? We should make signs for like how far you should be from the mic, the same way they made signs for coronavirus, like how far away.
Oh, God.
Be three seals away. Three? No, no, no. You should do it.
Three, two,
one.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You know what it is. My name is Malaku, and this is Fairly Odd Fairy Tales. Wah, wah, wah. I swear I'm going to get that edited in. All right, guys. Last time we left you, we were still working on Rapunzel, and so this is going to be part two of Rapunzel. But before we get into all of that bow shit, let's talk about the real MVPs of the game. So first things first, we got to give a shout out to the, honestly, in my opinion, deranged individuals who thought I was worth anything. But you know what? You can't get mad at the people who push you up. So I want to throw a big whoop to the Helios Network, because without them, none of this would be possible. Frankly, from everything to the recording you're hearing to the Maker's Mark on the table, they made Maker's Mark so one day I could get drunk and talk about
it. We here
shit
at the Helios Network do not condone anything that Malaku just said about Maker's Mark.
They here at the Helios Network should have read in the fine print. Also, I want to say a big thank you to podcasts everywhere to allow the Helios Network to grow and become the umbrella that it is, so that they could take good people who have just crazy shit to say and give them a platform to say it. So without podcasts in general and without the Helios Network, I literally would just be a piece of shit. Now I'm a piece of shit with the mic. So since we've already said our thank yous to the umbrella, let's say thank you to the people holding the umbrella. So to my right, I got Funkmaster Flex, DJ Drewski.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Yo, what, dude, tonight? I said DJ Drewski. This is why you're fired as a DJ.
What am I? I have no board. I have no toys to play with while we make music.
See, that was the most DJ shit I've ever heard in my life. That was dope. What a great intro. And then to my left, we got the man with the tan only on the top of his head. Always.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Now, you guys remember Owen from the last episode. You might remember Drew from the last episode if you watched the videos, because he was the guy doing the videos. That's his thing. He makes sexy things sexy. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our drink of old fashions. We decided to switch it up with Maker's Mark. Everyone, cheers.
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 I like to sip loudly because I want you guys to know that Daddy inhales when he smokes. And so we're going to be drinking on old fashions for the rest of it. We decided to do bourbon instead of rye because, you know what? I don't actually have a quick, witty retort. We're going to skip that
one. It's sweeter things in life.
God, you should literally write tattoos for people. Because people have shitty tattoos ideas. All right, where we left off, let's talk about it. Last time we were on the episode, we were talking about St. Barbara. We were talking about her Christian values and also how she got propelled to sainthood due to the nature of her terrible, terrible ending. And normally, we would usually only focus on one version of the fairy tale, because there's usually only one that kind of like takes the cake and is like the high-arching fairy tale. But we, weirdly enough, have two stories that are equally as prominent to each other. In fact, I would say the second one is more prominent. And before we dive in, real quick, how much, Drew, do you know about the Grimm's Brothers fairy tale version of Rapunzel?
I'm the worst about retaining knowledge and information from my past time, so not very much at all.
Hey, Drew, quick question. Do you or anyone you know personally and closely used marijuana in the last 15 years excessively at any point in time?
I don't think there's any possible way to answer that with a no.
All right, boys, we got him. He confessed. That being said, I don't blame you, dude, because I remembered a bunch more fairy tales before I started smoking weed. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't enjoy them. I just don't remember them.
I always had, my great-grandmother, she always had that You know that whenever you get like a large book of just all the fairy tales for someone who has a kid, a newborn or whatever. So when I was born, she got that huge, just like big blue book that had like the golden edges along the pages and it had everything in there from Rumpelstiltskin to just, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk, like all of those, you know, old ones that you would hear about. So that's like the only thing that I know about fairy tales is just, you know, from being read them as a child. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a good opportunity for us to kind of like dive back down. Guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I took a shot before we did this episode thinking like, yeah, this is going to smooth me out. Holy shit. And so really what I was going to say is, one, could we get potentially, if not that book, a copy of that book cover? Because it sounds sexy. You think you can figure that out for us?
Actually, I'm sure I have it in like storage somewhere, undoubtedly. So
fuck yeah, we're gonna figure that out. And now Owen already told us that he knew about the Tangled version of Rapunzel and that it's closer to the Grimm's Brothers version. But since that episode, have you looked at all anywhere deeper to see the coalition between the two?
No, man. Honestly, I was just in love with just hearing you talk and speak last one. I was just like, I don't want to taint anything here and just kind of let you go and blind react to everything you say.
My mother's blind.
And she reacted to my dick.
Damn it. I was really hoping you wouldn't have something for this one this time. But it turns out, I guess people get comfortable with jokes and then they start getting better at jokes than you do. So if you're a comedian out there listening to this show, don't get comfy. There's someone out there funnier than you.
And talking about St. Barb, before we get into it, I remember we had that debate last time. It's like, you know, sainthood and stuff like that. She actually did have a miracle, and I looked it up. So that was the one thing I was looking up, what her miracle was to become a saint.
So we actually talked about three miracles.
Oh, did we?
Okay. Yeah. Towards the end, we talked about the three supposed miracles.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember them?
No.
Okay, so I'd rather you tell us what the miracle you found out was first.
Okay, so she actually was able to invoke thunderstorms is the big one. And that's what she's known for, because she's the saint of like artillerymen and cannoneers, because of thunder. And that's like what the sound they make when they shoot their guns. So yeah, I just thought it was like a really cool little interesting little thing. Because I am always so sitting here on my laptop, you know, Googling stuff, looking at it and helping out, that I forgot we already talked about like three of them. But yeah.
No, it's okay, because that one that you're talking about was one that I thought was specifically the weirdest one, because that one had its own subsect of it. Yeah. Where there was this guy who was like talking about the god or like the saint of thunder or some shit, and like bring up the importance of specifically the thunder strike and like, I guess, metallurgy afterwards. You might be able to give us more information on that, because I was super high when we read that and I didn't write it down, but it's somewhere.
This is all based off of we were talking about last time, St. Barbara, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know what? What we'll do before we continue going forward with the Grimm's brother, we'll do a simple, quick recap. So the recap basically was, there's a girl named Barbara, and I also want to make a quick note. If you listen to the other episode, I did get a little too fucking wasted and messed up some parts. I did clear it up afterwards, but just to like clean it up from the beginning, she was locked up by her father. Her father was a merchant, and he had a beautiful daughter. His daughter was so banging, he was like, dude, I need to vet every single one of the guys who wants to bang you. And she was like, nah, I want to bang Strange. And he was like, not with it. So he tried to do this vetting process. She didn't like the guys. It was a whole ass thing, you know, daughters and dads. This is why I don't want a daughter, personally. Would you guys have a daughter?
I mean, if I have a child, then I have a child. I mean, the sex. Actually, that's like another thing about the sex that I've heard, where like, wasn't there like a, and I could be horribly wrong here, but like a King James or King someone who was always trying to have a daughter and, or always trying to have a boy, and he kept having a daughter and he kept, you know, going through midwives and stuff.
Yeah, wasn't that King Henry?
Yeah, I think it was King Henry.
And it turned out from like, I could be horribly wrong, but like actually with science, like it, the way that the sex of the child is determined is
facing north when you bang, right?
King Henry VIII.
Yeah. And they are the ones that supply the, or that somehow are the one, the choosing factor in the, and this is where my science breaks up. I am nowhere by any means intelligent about this, but
it's the men. So it's the chromosome that we impart into the woman that chooses the sex.
And so he kept, every time he would have sex with a woman and it turned out to be a female, he would just like, you know, off kill with her head. And it was awful. And it's like, yo, homie, you're the problem. Like,
Look, guys, you guys say, okay, I just want to talk about the two things you just said. You said awful and that it's his problem. What I see is, one, it was awful. Mm-hmm. You are right. It's awful that he had that many daughters.
What was his problem? He had daughters. That's not a problem. But no, he thought it was a problem.
Have you ever been a man in the 1400s and you were like, I need to have a child who's going to work hard and take over the throne, but
Last time I checked my reincarnation journal, I'm not sure.
And wait, did people in the 14th century have southern accents that sounded like deep Texas or what?
One, yes, and that's okay. Where Texas got it from. Secondly, we have to work on this thing where, because this was one of the fact checkings I got from the last episode. So we kept saying the third AD or whatever, mm-hmm. and we called it the year 400. It was the year 200. And we even like talked about like, wait, which year is it?
Hey, look, we're just ordinary people doing a podcast. We never say we're experts in anything.
I'm actually a genius, and that's why I drink, is because I don't know if you know, what's mm-hmm. his name, the guy from Sherlock Holmes, but that guy did heroin, and I was like, heroin's heavy. I'm not down. If you're down, that's your thing.
Are you talking about Robert Downey Jr.?
No. That guy, wait, maybe, because I know Burger King stopped him from being drug addicted. But I don't know what the drugs he was addicted to were.
Anyways, let's get into...
So St. Barbara, right? Her dad locks her up. Her dad's like, I'm a merchant. You do what I say. These guys are going to build the tower because I paid them. He pays them really well. Somehow, somebody sneaks a book about Jesus. Not the Bible, but a book about Jesus into her thing. She becomes a Christian and starts changing the way they built her tower. And her dad realizes something's wrong. They talk about it. She goes, I love Jesus. And the dad is like, I love you, babe. But like, you can't love Jesus, love me, and love our business. So he takes her into the council because he's harboring a fugitive. They look at her and they go, hey, you did all of this shit where you're like super Jesus-y and we're not about it because it's still really early in history. Like, we'll get there, but you're too early. And she goes, well, you ain't my niggas then. And so they killed her. And she performs these three theoretical miracles, one involving the thunder. The other one was that she was enveloped in a veil of mist. So when they were torturing her in the same way, theoretically, they tortured Jesus for being a pariah, she didn't feel the pain because of this mystical veil. And then something about her dad dying. I don't know. But
I was
like,
completely
wrong.
I was going to try and guess one of those miracles, and it was last time when I was listening to you, you were like, because we were talking about like the story of it, and you were saying that the dude broke into someone's garden, and I was like, someone, you telling me that a pregnant woman was just really craving nothing but parsley, that was it? Like, you're gonna feed her with just a garnish.
You know what's the craziest part? Not that he fed her with the garnish, was that she literally was like, I just want the garnish. And he was like, but babe, they got so many other vegetables. Like, zucchini? You don't like zucchini? Squash?
Okay, you know, think about it back then, though, in the third century, fourth century, second century. I don't know. What's the official?
In that time.
It's like parsley would probably be one of the best tasting things, right? Yeah, like, true. You have to think about, like, everything else. We didn't have, like, you know, salt was still a commodity that people traded in.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think you're onto something, but at the same time, I'm also like, this is a witch who has a fucking garden. You don't think she has some good fruits? Like, I'm sure she had something dank. Like, in the Garden of Eden, it was the apple. I'm watching this interesting replay, this anime about the gods fighting humans, and they bring Adam into it, and it's like an interesting thing. And like, his big rebellion was they try to blame Eve for eating the apple, and she was like all fucking just naked, and the serpent wanted to fuck her, and she wouldn't. So he bites the apple and blames it on her in the Council of the Gods. And so Adam's rebellion is taking a bite of all the apples and saying they're super sour and then throwing them down because the idea was that humans, or that human, was so arrogant that the food for the gods couldn't be perfect. There has to be something wrong with it.
Oh,
and so. And keep in mind, this is an anime Netflix produced recently. I don't know what kind of shit's going down at Netflix right now or what Ted Sarandos is on, but I promise you, he doesn't give a fuck about parsley. And so maybe parsley dope. It's dope with like certain things. It's a great herb. I'm not knocking down parsley. What I'm saying is like, yo, dude, you have a fucking witch's garden and you only eat parsley. You're so pregnant, it blows my mind.
Well, hey, maybe it's one of those situations because, like, one of my biggest mistakes that I ever make when I go grocery shopping is when I grab parsley instead of cilantro.
Oh, God.
It's the worst. It's like when I grab the peanut butter Ritz Cheez-It sandwiches instead of, or not the Ritz, peanut butter sandwiches instead of the Cheez-It ones because that's one of the ones I want. Yeah. But, you know, but that's crazy. She should have a lot more in that garden than just, you know.
She did. I think the problem here, Drew, is as a male, you're assuming that this was that easy and that she could just choose between the, like, her husband was
stealing.
He's
the one that went out for the job.
Yeah, and he's stealing. When you rob a bank, do you stop and look at everything you're robbing? You're like, well, I don't want this low-quality trash. I should have stopped and checked for the big bucks. No, you go, hey, dude, thank God I made it out and they didn't kill me, which brings us back to why we're here, the Grimm's Brothers version, which does start that way. And this is where I fucked up. I kept mixing the two. What ends up happening is because she did all those miracles, it was solely based around her, her father, Christianity, and the state. Which is an interesting thing to note. Like, those were the governing, or not governing, but those were the bodies and the powers that be in those stories.
In that time.
Yeah. Well, just in that story, in that version of Rapunzel. Because in this next Rapunzel version, antagonist?
Antagonist.
Yeah. The antagonist is the witch. So let's jump in. Rapunzel's mom gets super prego. She's fucking, her and her husband, they want to have a baby. They're like super baby fucking, what do you call it? It's not jungle fever. Baby fever. Should have known that one. I actually look like an idiot because I just stared right into the camera and went, what is it called again? And so they do that. And then the wife gets these weird cravings for specifically parsley. Now, what they don't talk about historically is women being pregnant and having weird cravings. Like, they bring it up a bunch of times, but it sounds like a bunch of dudes who wrote stories and are like, yeah, women are fucking crazy when they're pregnant. But what they do talk about historically is that in those times, whatever a pregnant woman wanted, she got. Like, you do not fuck around with pregnant women, mm-hmm. and, like, they get whatever they want, no matter how ridiculous. It's not ridiculous.
Like, woman scorn.
Yeah, but, like, imagine if we didn't think of it as hell and we thought of it as, like, oh, that's just what they do.
Well, also, there was more than a 50% mortality rate for women giving birth back then.
Yeah, this is another thing I think y'all pointed out, too, last time, is that the life expectancy back then was, like, only 30 years?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're doing jobs that weren't, which we ended up talking about, like, cushiony, like, scholar-like jobs. Anything that didn't require, like, physical labor would be a longer life expectancy. But you can't really base things off that small percentage of people who were scholars because it wasn't a bunch. That wasn't the majority. But so, like, anyways, this fucking couple is out there banging. They have a baby. The mama wants parsley. It's also important to specify it's only parsley in a bunch of the more notable versions. In older other versions, it's any leaf. It's like a leafy green. They never specify. Okay. I think the parsley thing comes up later, and I don't know if that's just because, like, they didn't have a name for parsley before that, and they were like, yeah, that fucking leaf.
That
yeah,
tasty like, green thing right there.
And she eats
it's better than grass?
Yeah, it's salad. They call everything salads. Actually, salad, the root word of that is sal, S-A-L. And a chef friend of mine was telling me, this is why you season your salad. Any of your vegetables, before you add your vinaigrettes or any oil-based thing, you want to season them with all your seasonings, toss it around so that the oil kind of like coats it and allows it to be absorbed into the actual thing rather than sitting on top of it in that coat of oil. But so she's eating fucking salads and she makes her husband steal parsley from next door. And her husband's like, babe, this is sketch. And she was like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, all right, babe, whatever.
Gotta do it.
You have to, or it's either that or hell hath no fury, like a woman scorn or whatever the fuck you said. So they're doing that. And the witch kind of like notices that shit's being stolen. So she catches him at one point and she goes, hey, motherfucker, drop it. So homeboy, terrified and alone, and this isn't actually true, but terrified and alone, pulls his pants down. And she sees that fucking honker on him.
Bold move.
Yeah. But also at the same time, when a woman just like sees you and she goes, drop him. Like, what are you going to do?
You're not going to say no.
Even if you're wrong, you're not going to say no. And so he drops him. She sees his big old cock. And you know what she says? She says, all right, let's make a deal. Let's figure this out. What really happened is she says, drop it. He explains what's going on. And this is a big thing that they point out is she becomes lenient about the whole situation and goes, well, let's just do a trade then. Let's not get serious. We don't have to involve the cops. You're black and we know what cops are. So, like, let's figure something out, like, on the off the books. Also, he wasn't black because, like, that would make no sense because, like, this is written in Germany. And I don't know if you know anything about history, but there isn't really that many black people in Germany like that. And not for any other reason other than transportation, ultimately. And so this is going on. She's like, let's figure this out. And he says, name your price. Let me just get this parsley to my wife. She goes, your firstborn child. He goes, bet. And that was it. And he goes home. Like, it was that simple. Like, the weirdest part about contracts is it was literally like, you down, I'm down.
No fucks given.
Yeah. Well, and I think it might be fair to say it's because she's a witch. And so, like, as the story goes, they have their firstborn. He tries to hide it from the witch, and the witch finds him. There's one version where, like, he tries to hide it. And most of them, he doesn't. But in the one that he does, they don't even make it a big deal. They just say, like, he tries because he's human, and humans do that kind of shit. But, like, it's a witch. She finds it. She takes the baby. It's fine. So they take the baby. And or she takes a baby and she sees this baby and grants her that, like, I don't know, immunity from being fucking ugly. So she's super hot and she's a babe and she's 12, still not old enough. I don't give a fuck what we talked about on the last podcast or what year it is, still not old enough. And she locks her away. Now, she comes to her every day in this tower to bring her food. It's weird. The witch loves this kid, loves her with everything. And she
She has to give up that parsley. I mean, it's pretty serious.
Yeah, I mean, also at the same time, you look at that parsley, you look at that child, and you go, "You are the parsley." Like, that's beautiful.
That's some good looking parsley right there.
Yeah, it was all lust the whole time. She's just like, "What is this?"
You kept saying the word "baby" so much, it made me think of the Mandalorian. It's like, "I want to see the baby."
How funny would it be if we remade that movie, but anytime it was Baby Yoda, it was just parsley.
It's just parsley.
just sitting in the floating carriage.
It's just everyone's serious about
just
it.
Just a head of parsley.
And we give it the big old black olive eyes.
Oh, gosh.
Literally olives. Like, just fucking, yeah. Because Baby Yoda has beautiful eyes, but they're blacked out. And in every other context of having blacked out eyes, you're a demon. And I find it to be weird that in the Star Wars universe, they don't talk about heaven, hell, demons. We should bring that up later. So anyways, this lady's like, this bitch is locked up in her. I hate calling women who are not in the room and my friend bitches like that. Because I feel like it's way funnier when you say it, when they are in the room and they have a chance to defend themselves.
Not because it's a derogatory term towards women at all, but
No. I don't get, there's no such thing as a derogatory. The only thing that exists is that humans are sensitive about things that they pick at their own whim. So, like, at that point,
everything is subjective.
Everything is subjective. It's true. So, like, the only thing that bothers me is when something's super fucking funny and there isn't somebody else in the room who can argue why it's not funny, only for me to be funnier. Like, I feel like I have too much power in this room. So she's locked up in the tower. Mama loves her. And so the witch would always visit her. And I guess this prince is walking by. And they don't really explain why he's walking by or what he's doing. All they say is he's walking by and he sees this fucking babe up in a tower. And he's like, dude, I want to fuck. And he doesn't know how to. And so you can't slide into DMs. You can't even, frankly, send a letter. So he stalks her like any normal man would, I guess, if you can't get in contact with the woman. And he's fucking just creeping for days. And he sees the witch go, hey, there's actually a – I want to say it correctly because it is quoted a bunch of times. It's the line in its full extent. And most of us know it for the first half. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your long hair. The second part is, that I may climb thy golden stair. And I think it's important to add that second half because it gives it almost a, like a regal touch. Mm-hmm. It's no longer like give me that robe. It's like, give me that fucking gold robe. And I don't know. It's never specified if saying it in that way is like any more profound. I just think it is personally. So he does that. He goes up to the fucking bushel of hair one day. Or actually, no, he goes up to the tower and he goes, Rapunzel. He does a high pitched voice. He imitates the witch, which is so fucking funny because, what? Like,
okay.
Imagine if I came to your house, Owen, mm-hmm. right? Phone's dead. Knock on the door. I go, hey, Owen, it's me, Malaku. And you let me in.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, the opposite sex, who theoretically, we don't know, but theoretically has vocal cords that can't produce the same tone, tries to emulate that tone. And they go, hey, Owen. I'm not sure that's how they sound, but they go, hey, Owen, it's Malaku. You would be like, hey, dude, not sure. I'm going to check before I let this guy in, right?
You got a cold or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even if you weren't like you could have called, you would look out the people. Like if you, Drew, if you showed up to my house and even in your deep voice, you went, hey, Malaku. I'd literally look out the window. I'd be like, who the fuck is this? But, you know, ignorance is bliss. So she just drops her long hair and he climbs that golden stair and she's freaking out because she's never seen a dude like that, like a man. And he's looking at her and he's just like, dude, I just want to fuck. And so they talk, they hang out. He's like, this is what a dick looks like. They play a little doctor and he bangs her. Maybe not at first, but after a couple times of doing this, he bangs her and they fall in love. And then she becomes pregnant. And so they start devising this plan like, fuck, we got to get you out of here because like fucking Child Protective Services is not down.
And CPS. CPS.
I'm going to hit that another record button.
Real go quick. For it. Yeah. Go for it. So I think this is going to be a perfect moment to go ahead and take a little sabbatical before. Or did you just restart it?
I did, but I can always do it.
Can you pause it for a second? Because sure. I want to practice this right now while we have this going. And it works. All right, guys. So we're back in it. So now Rapunzel is getting prego by this dude who's banging her, but he's a prince apparently from some far away kingdom, and they're doing this on the low, and she's super innocent, so she's just like falling in love with a man for the first time, and they bring this up. This is the first real man she's ever seen. And so I question whether or not he was a fucking banger or was he like some fat nasty.
Well, he did bang her.
Yeah, but like I've banged some girls I should have never, and I feel bad for all of them. And like also I wonder.
You feel bad for them.
Yeah. Daddy had a great time, dude. I look back on those and I go, wow. I and this is the thing I think we should bring up too. There is a numbers game going on. I don't mean a number of like how many people you do it with, but your number you can be quantified by and the number that the girl you quantify by. And you have a number for her and she has a number for you. And your numbers will never match up to the same scale, but it exists. And if you say it doesn't, you're a fucking liar. We all do it. It's just, it's part of survival. It's basically biology making sure this person's ready for you so that you can have a baby that's going to live. And like, it does boil down to physical aesthetics at first, because that's the first thing you notice. And what I want to say is some of these ladies, I go home thinking, daddy bagged a fucking dime. And I know they went home going, God, he was real funny. And his food was good. And that's what I'm going to tell my friends when they bring up, God, but he's not that hot. Like, this guy's like a fat piece of shit.
What's that stroke game like?
Weak, dude. That's why I always eat out a girl for like 45 minutes before. So she's like basically out by the time daddy goes in. Know your numbers. So they're banging. They're having a good time. Have a baby. She's innocent. She doesn't know. And the innocence is important. Not because like he like coerced her into having sex when she didn't want to, but because she doesn't recognize the taboo nature of speaking about it afterwards. So one night, Rapunzel is visited by the witch. And this is another split in the story. They don't know which one was the... Or they do know which one. In each version, it separates. In one version, Rapunzel gives it up accidentally by saying, why don't my clothes fit around my waist the way they're supposed to. And the witch is a fucking whore, I take from this. And only because if Rapunzel is innocent and everything's taboo, then that means if the witch knew by those words that she was pregnant and everything's taboo and everyone's taboo, the witch must have been a whore. Otherwise, why does she know about it?
It's like, I feel like that's like a power of a witch, though. She just like walks in the room, takes one look at your eyes, smells the air, like, oh, she's pregnant.
Yeah, you're prego.
Yeah.
No, it was more like if I fucking shoved a bag of coke up my ass and a witch walked in and I went, why does this bag of coke in my ass hurt? And she found out about the coke in my ass. Right? It's not like if I just did a line of coke and she walked in and I was like, why is everything so fucking pretty? And then the witch had to use some like deductive reasoning to look at me and be like, his pupils are enlarged. He's speaking rapidly. He doesn't have ADHD and he's sweating. This is a fucking drug addict.
She's got to know from experience.
Exactly. Exactly. Because otherwise you could learn from just like viewing the details. But like when you know it at that level, it's because you're a fucking trick. And it's okay. I'm a trick. I'm a whore. I get it. Game knows game. Ain't no shame. Something that rhymes with shame. I'm a rapper. And so she like
you're realized. You're here for the pain?
Yo, dude, that actually is a bar. Hold on. Oh? DJ Owen. What's your DJ name?
DJ YG.
YG?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Oh, my God. That's so funny. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Oh,
DJ YG. DJ YG.
That should be an anagram for disc jockey young grandmother.
Yeah. So the quick story behind it. There's a reason why I have it. So we talked about on the last episode that I used to have a degree in I do have a degree in Old Testament theology and used to be a youth pastor. So I was DJing one night at Rosemary and Tanner comes
Rosemary
up.
Rosemary in Beauty East
Queen.
Nashville.
Yeah, Rosemary Beauty Queen.
Yeah. Great place.
Yeah. Tanner walks up, saw me DJ and just goes, DJ youth group. And we all just lost it. And I was like, well, there's my DJ name, DJ YG.
May the beats be with you.
Yo, that's actually so dope, dude. When I was in my youth group, they thought I was a rapper because I was black. And so they used to call me Africa or Route 56 because that was the name of our church group was Ruta 56 because it was for 5th and 6th graders. It had like a classic like Route 56 thing. But they used to call me Route 56 as a rapper name, and I always thought it would be way better as a tramp stamp that just you had like right there, right above your butthole. And
that's
just
literally like the cover of like Eurotrip or something right there.
Oh,
like,
man, I love Eurotrip.
Eurotrip was that dude. Scotty doesn't know.
Matt
Damon.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Was it Lustra?
Lustra. L-U-S-T-R-A. Yeah. Great band. Yeah. I actually did a cover of Scotty Doesn't Know because the chords coincided with the song I wrote called Threesome. And the chorus is like, basically, I like your friend, but I like you, but I like your friend too. Do you want to have a threesome? And then I segued into Scotty Doesn't Know. And I had a buddy named Scott. And I had taken his bandmates to create a band that he stole from somebody else, dirty. But I took his bandmates, and I didn't know that this person who was a good friend of mine ate a bunch of acid before my show and sat in the front row, and so I'm seeing Scotty Doesn't Know the cover to his face while he's tripping balls.
Literally like the movie. Well, yeah, he's not tripping balls, but I mean just...
But
yeah.
Just like the movie, so and his Fiona was the band, and he comes up to me, and he's like, hey, bud, is there something you're trying to tell me? And I was like, hey, bud, I don't know if you know this, but you stole that band. So I don't think there's a problem here. And he goes, hey, bud, I'm tripping on acid. I was like, hey, bud, you should have started with that. That's the most important piece of this fucking conversation, bro. Anyway, so we got that one girl pregnant as fuck upstairs. She accidentally gives her away. The second way she gives herself away, though, is she says, okay, so the first way I told you where she says like, hey, why do my clothes don't fit? That's actually, I should have made that the second way because the first way she does it is by saying, why are you so much lighter to pull up than the prince? And the reason why that should have been the first way is because, whatever. I'm actually confused. It doesn't matter which way I say them in. Those are the two ways. One of them is why don't these clothes fit? The other one is why are you heavy or why are you lighter than the prince? The reason why that's important is because originally it was, why don't my clothes fit? But like we talked about in the last episode, the Grimm's brother got real sensitive about certain concepts and tried to like PG them up, I guess. Even though they were writing about fucking visceral murder, they tried to PG them up. Sex, motherhood was sacred always because of their mom. So they took that out. They didn't want it to – the stomach being tight was a – basically like a tip your hat to sex. So they took that out and changed it to why do you weigh more because they were trying to make it more innocent. For children.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so that's why it's a very important detail because you'll see in a lot of stories, there'll be something that's like kind of like a sideways way of saying y'all fucked, but they make it weirdly like more taboo by making it cleaner. And it's just super awkward. But they did that because they were super weird about sex at the time. It's fine. Anyways, the witch finds out about this. And in the French version, it's the same the whole way through. Except until this point. And when the witch finds out, in the French version, she sends her away to a magical island and she gives her all the amenities she would need and they're eternally replacing. In the Grimm's brothers version, she just sends her out of the tower with nothing. She just goes, figure it out. But she doesn't harm her. She just goes, figure it out. And in the Grimm's brothers version, after she sends her away, the prince does the whole like... Rapunzel, Rapunzel, where's your long hair? But the witch accounted for this. So right before, the witch had chopped off most of Rapunzel's hair. And she kept it. Hmm. And she let down that hair as a disguise that she was Rapunzel. So the prince climbs it up, gets to the top. And the witch shows up like that one guy from To Catch a Predator.
Entrapment.
Oh,
Povich? No. Because Povich was Maury. That was his show. Yeah. Are you the father? This was a Dateline NBC.
Why don't you have a seat right over here?
Yes, that guy who was like, "Oh, you were here to meet up with the 13-year-old." Well, let me tell you, she's 26.
Chris Hansen.
Dude, what a goddamn American hero! I'm not saying like entrapping people is the best way to do things. But I will say, entrapping pedophiles, dope.
He did it with class. Yeah. He was like, with a suit and everything in the kitchen.
You
like,
could be not classy. You could literally take a midget who looks 9 but is 45 and put her in a fucking thong so it looks like a 9-year-old in a thong and entrap a dude. And you know what I would say is, hey, he should have been trying to fuck a 12-year-old. Like, that's the problem. Not this girl, especially if she's an adult. It's the rapist. And so she does that whole entrapment thing that Drew keeps going on and on about for whatever reason. And he gets up there and he freaks out and she goes, hey, you got this bitch pregnant. What are we doing on time right now?
20 minutes. We're at 40 minutes. So we got 20 minutes left.
Yeah. Sick. I got too much time. They call me too much time, Tommy. And so she says, you already did the unreversible sin. You banged Rapunzel. My baby girl that I had locked up is tainted. And I had to send her away because you like took away her sanctity. And he, which I didn't know was an issue until I studied this deeper, he does apparently the most cucky thing you can do. He leaps from the tower and lands on a thorn bush, and it blinds him. Ooh. Now, I said the cuckiest thing you could do, because when I first read it, they were just like, he leaps from the tower, and he blinds himself on a thorn bush, but it breaks his landing. And I didn't think much of it. I just kind of skipped past it. And then I started looking up, like, why is Rapunzel fucked up? And I found this one article. If I find it, I'll put it in the bibliography. But this one hated this guy for some reason and just kept going on and on. And one of the parts they bring up is like, and that's when he does the most selfish thing you could do. Commit suicide because you think you're so much more important. This problem is so much more important. The witch never threatened him, which is a very important thing. Before you jump, the witch never threatened him in any version. He just leaps from the building. And I think it was supposed to be this like romantic, like, I love her. I'll never see her. I will give my body to death so we could. I stole this from Chris D'Elia, but I'm doing it way better. Chrissy Pooh, take notes. I stole her. I love her. Wear some sunglasses, bro. She'll never be with me. And he leaps. And he doesn't die. Kind of like in The Incredibles when that guy jumps from the building and Mr. Incredible saves him. And then they go to court and he goes, you ruined my death. That's what this guy's doing. Wow. You ruined my death. And he's blinded. But there's a article that talks all about like, hey, dude, you just got a girl pregnant. And now she's not here. Go find your fucking kid.
Yeah.
But instead he goes, my life is over. Cause I'm a prince. It's a first world country for me. And he kills himself and it doesn't work out. So now the prince is doomed with wandering forever blind. Now, in the French version, once we get to this point, because it's the same basically, like he jumps, but like Rapunzel's not necessarily in a safe haven. In the German version, she's just in the forest. So the prince is like wandering the forest blind, like, ha. He's not even thinking, I miss her. He's just like, ha, I'm blind. I want to live. And he's like wandering around. And in the German version, in both versions, he accidentally stumbles upon Rapunzel. In the German one, he finds her in the middle of the forest. And she has had twins. And this is a big thing because twins were a sign of like some kind of like outward intense intervention. Now in the Grimm's Brothers versions, it's not religious. It's just like having twins was like this big, beautiful thing, but it wasn't like that big of a deal. It was more like, whoa, this doesn't happen, but like whatever, put it up to the gods. And other versions of it, her having twins was like a sign of like this like weird, deep, struggle being overcame, and that her love for the kids being separated from the fathers created like two dynamics of children
like
that she would
duality
raise
or something, or?
Kind of like some weird duality it gave her versus like her like the idea, the argument was like if they had raised the kids together she would have had one kid, but because the witch banished her it like separated the embryos or some shit so that she could love both
Luke
of them
Leia.
Equally. Nah. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, it turns out all fairy tales are Star Wars. turns out. Anyways, like this shit fucking happens where he's like, oh, I love my baby. And he's like wandering around and he finds her. And then they hug each other and they're super sad. And she cries and her teardrops fall, I guess, into his eyes and they cure him of his blindness. Which I don't know if you've ever cried. I don't also
wait,
know.
This is in the French version?
No, I'm a man. I've never cried once in my entire life.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in this room's ever cried in their entire life. Yeah. But I have some friends that are women, and they cry all the time. And they told me two things. One, highly improbable. Because they said, when I cry, I don't take the time to cry with accuracy. There's no planning this out. And if I cry and I hug a guy, he better be 6 feet. So if my tears touch his eyes, he's not tall enough for me, is what most girls said to me. Yeah, I asked them. 100% fact. 100% false. But like, I want to call it fact. But just know it's false. And so the tears save the blind man.
And this is in the French version?
This is in both versions.
Both versions?
They're saved. They're happy.
That's incredible. See, they don't put this in the big blue book. I never heard about this part.
No. What ends up happening is Rapunzel gets locked away or whatever. Or Rapunzel gets sent away. They find each other and then they're happy.
Yeah.
And he takes her back. But in the Grimm's Brothers version, he's blind and she cries and that saves him. And then they live happily ever after. In the French version, which I thought was interesting, is she had this never-ending supply of food. She had all these like amenities about her. Now I'm going to see if I can bring them
up.
Yeah,
she came from parsley, bro. She grows anywhere.
Yeah, and she's also French. So the French will never let other French people be stupid. That's just like part of their thing. But so she has a food source that magically replies itself. And when he shows up and she cries and he's unblinded, The food source turns to stone. The water turns into like a thick crystal. And the herbs turn into toads, venomous creatures, and the birds become dragons and harpies. So this magical wonderland, in the French version, the magical wonderland is turned to stone, kind of like how, who was it, Lot? Was Lot running away from, there was somebody who was running away from, I think, Sodom and Gomorrah, or they were running away from a town, and I think it was Lot, actually, and if he turned back to look at it, he would be turned to stone. And his wife and kids looked back. And they were turned to stone. And he had to have the strength to keep running forward and not turn back. Now, I don't think it's similar in the sense of like she's Lot. I think it's similar in the sense of the consequence of retribution in the God's eyes is a finite, forever in existence kind of like stamp. They stamp you into that moment. And I think that these two people escaped the stamping as human beings. They overcame their thing, their like their problem, and got to live past it. And they had to forevermore accept these things. And they don't talk about, because what ends up happening is they end up leaving this magical island in the French version and go back to the prince's like hometown. Everything's dope. But what happened to that fucking island that was turned in stone? What happened to everything, all the animals, all the herbs that became animals, all the birds who became dragons? Like, what happens to those things? Do they just fucking exist forever and they just live on that island and like nobody talks about them? And now there's fucking dragons in the world? Like, what happens to these things? What happened to Lot's family? Did they get taken as statues and put up? Did another country come in and just wipe it all down? Nobody talks about these statues. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about what happens after the turning into stone or why the turning into stone is so important.
It was
why
is that? Salt.
Salt. Pillars of salt.
Yeah, they got turned into pillars of salt.
Goes good with that parsley, though, doesn't it?
That might be why they were turned into salt, because God was like, look, dude, these are some sinners. However, y'all don't got flavor. So why don't we just go for a 2-for-1 right here? I'm going to take away your loved ones, but I'm going to turn them into flavor. Salt is flavor. I swear to God, if you don't salt your food, go fuck yourself. And so now we're at this point.
With the sodium.
Yo, dude, you know who's scared of sodium? And before I say this, I think it's the health company's problems, but it's literally the lower class economically, not like aesthetically, lower class and Blacks and Mexicans specifically. And a lot of it, I believe, being in both of those communities growing up, is this bullshit fun fact nutritionist information that we get that's not rooted in science but rooted in old adulterated studies that happened in the 90s, and nobody ever decided, hey, tell them something new now that there's new information. Like, it literally is, like, I get Mexican, Latino descent people coming up to my truck all the time going, fat and sodium's bad for you. I go, hey, with your genetic disposition, that's actually false. And it's the kind of fats and salts you eat. And then the girl looks at me and goes, well, I don't eat mayo. And I'm like, well, you know what, dude? Can't help you. Bill Nye fucked y'all.
Have you ever fried an egg in oil? Oh, yeah, you basically had mayo.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had literally any food that's ever existed? Animal fat. Oh, you eat tofu? Yeah. Hey, dude, you think they're making tofu in this one place that doesn't have animal fat? Good for you. I appreciate that you can live in that ignorance. But also at the same time, there's really great vegan and vegetarian organizations that do their best to like reduce animal fat in their factories. Those people got it. Now, if those people were around when Rapunzel's mom stole that goddamn leaves, maybe we wouldn't be in this conniption. Now, so now that we know that Rapunzel gets to the point where she's saved, everything's dope, everything's fine, why is this fairy tale so fucking weird? Why is it, like, messed up? Like, what makes this something different other than just a story of, like, you know, a young girl whose mom wanted to protect her, but you know, couldn't because dicks exist. Like, why is this different? And I think a lot of that has to do with the reality that for a long time, men, and I think men who wrote history, always gave women these, like, more delicate positions in storytelling. But I think that was reflective upon men and women's ecosystems at the time. Women for a long time had these jobs that indulged less danger, but were much more, in my opinion, like articulate.
Hmm.
And I wonder if that bleeds in, because now we have two versions, a Christian version,
yeah,
which I think it's obvious, right?
Oh, 100%.
It's just like a rebellion of Christianity at the time. And then the other version is more the maiden in the tower problem. The, I have a beautiful baby girl. I want her to be safe. The whole world's trying to fuck it and ruin it. And I think that one plays more into like how society has always portrayed women. But at the same time, I wonder if it's because in those places that are a little more traditional, women and men kind of like sanction themselves off into these positions and like these like responsibilities they would hold. And it was all based around their obvious strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like deeper than that. It was just purely the obvious. Women dealt with the more emotional and like recording side of things, and men dealt with the more physical and more like big, rash decisions. Women dealt with things more like, as far as I've been able to see, from mostly Native American. So I'm not going to say this for all older societies that existed, but mostly Native Americans, they dealt with a lot more of logistical issues. And the men dealt with more of the, like, immediate threats. Hmm. And I wonder if that archetype of understanding existed for so long that when we write about people like Rapunzel, because in both sides, it was a young girl who had to be saved in the tower. It's the maiden in the tower archetype. We'll talk about this a lot more. Why did that exist? Women, I don't think we're just willing to be weak for 2,000 years of recorded history and then 5,000 of unrecorded. I just refuse to believe that. But I do think that maybe there was this weird ecosystem that existed that made women's responsibilities seem to men more feeble. And so men, when they wrote them in stories, wrote them as more delicate beings that needed to be protected and cherished. Like diamonds, or not like diamonds, because diamonds aren't that fragile, but like gold. Gold is very, very fragile. It's very solid, very malleable. And
very conductive.
Very conductive, why it has a lot of importance. I think women are the same way. Women are very soft, very malleable metals, but very, very valuable and very good at conducting energy. And in my mind, conducting energy is the same way as understanding emotions. I think emotions are just energy.
I was just gonna say that's like another thing too, like women are the ones that raise the children, right? Like, no matter female or male, they're the ones that raise the children. So you know, they have a lot of the most impact, I feel like, you know, because, you know, they're raising the children that are going to be, you know, the future man or woman.
There's an argument that women are more emotionally based specifically because they have to raise and create human beings. And if they weren't so, they couldn't connect to something that might be mentally and as far as maturity goes, completely separate from them. But like, they can maintain that emotional understanding of like the feebleness of children.
There was an interesting study that I was reading that was, it was looking at typical jobs that men pick and typical jobs that women pick. And it wasn't like it's not a pay gap study or anything like that. It was just like looking at actual professions. It actually shows kind of what you guys are talking about. Women tend to get into careers, and this is not all, but like as the study showed, majority were getting into careers that were more about people, like sales, marketing,
nursing,
doctors, things where it was about connecting with people, where guys tend to get into more jobs where it's about things like
and objects.
Yeah. And it's like, mechanics, plumbing, construction. It's about a thing and nerding out about a thing where it's like women want to nerd out with people. And I think like, you know, that's pretty sign of times where it's like with guys, like, you know, if you ever go, I don't know, golfing or something, it's like, hey, like, so what do you and your friends do golf? Like, well, we just play golf. Will you guys talk about anything? Yeah. It's like, yeah, we just like get together because we want to go do a thing. And I'm like, of course, that's not everybody. That's not, you know, we're not pigeonholing or anything like that. Just, you know.
That's why I like to, whenever we make these kind of arguments, I like to replace the words male and female with masculine and feminine. Yeah. And I think it's like, don't get me wrong. I personally believe these things are almost inherent to male and female, but I don't think the world is that black and white.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that the area of gray comes in. It's like, yeah, dude, I think just generally, if you're born a male, there's a high likelihood you would do the same things males before you did. Obviously.
Yeah.
It's 2021. I mean,
we as a society are growing and changing where it's not always going to be that, which is a good thing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even before that, realistically, yeah, which people don't like to admit, but like when it comes to feminine, the feminine masculine men or the masculine feminine woman, I do think it's the reason why you can have straight men who are very feminine in certain aspects and straight women who are very masculine in certain aspects. I think this has been happening for years.
Yeah.
When you have these Latin religious traditional communities, they had like these women who are very masculine, very strong. And this is why catcalling in Latin American communities isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It's because the women are so strong. They're like, no. No.
Yeah, oh yeah, fuck off. I'm going to hit you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do still think I'm never once ever. And this might be biased, and I'm willing to let this be biased for all of time. I don't give a fuck how you feel about this. But I will say that one, just historically, men, up until right now, so maybe something will change in the future, but up until right now, men have been the creepier and the more abrasive of our species and have committed most of the violence. And it's been mostly over petty arguments, and some of them have involved women because we're that weak. Yeah. And I will say that women have done, as far as I'm concerned, 100% success rate on creating more humans and making sure that humans still exist long term. So I will always be biased about that. Men are fucking creepy. Even if none of the men are but one, there's a man out there who's creepy. And I think women are just so goddamn emotional, but it's because they literally are wired to understand that side of the world a little bit better than we are. And I think it has to do with creating babies. Now, I do think you could be a man who's that emotional and have a baby. And I love that American Horror Story brought that in. A man that has a baby and that emotional tie to the birth. They did a whole episode that was just about the birth of it and that how that guy was feeling. Now, I thought it was weird they made him a gay man because I'm like, hey, are you trying to play into a more effeminate man? Because that would make more sense for people who are watching this, which maybe they did because Hollywood is totally stereotypical. They're only doing where the money is, right?
Yep.
But I do think these themes are there, maybe beyond our understanding, but I don't think it's a hard rule, and I think people have like strayed from it, but I don't think people who wrote stories were thinking about that. But now that we've gone down to why I believe Rapunzel was weird, why I believe Rapunzel's fucked up, I think my only question before we log off is to each of you being here for the first two episodes, you first, Drewski. DJ, Drewski, what was the most fucked up thing about this fairy tale to you?
The most fucked up thing about the fairy tale to me, from just being here on the first two episodes?
Just about Rapunzel.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if I'm recalling it correctly, just when the gentleman who was like that was getting the parsley, or, you know, for his pregnant his pregnant wife, being caught by the witch was just like, the witch was like, your firstborn daughter. He's like, deal. Yeah, I'm just going to give you my child right off the bat. Like,
No, I didn't plan for this. I didn't plan for explaining why the first fucked up thing you thought would be reasonable.
Oh, well, wait.
No. I'm because it's, it, it, no, it, but it's not unreasonable.
You
want to
go back to the 12-year-old being like,
No, that's pretty unreasonable. That's pretty fucked up. But no, I think you brought up a good thing. And I think you brought up something we can do more in the shows, which is explain why, for them, it wasn't weird. It for us, it's fucked up. I agree with you. That was pretty fucked up. Well, why do you do that? Turns out the uneven trade was a very common thing in these fairy tales. And a lot of it was to spark the hero's journey.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know the hero's journey. I think you do because you've, theology. Owen, also, if you're not like fucking looking at the video, which you should be because Drew spent a lot of fucking time editing these videos, you should be. But it's because that the uneven trade is a very common theme. And when I was reading this, it brought up another story we're going to bring up in the first season, which is Jack and the Beanstalk. It propagates a need for overcoming something. So it carries a story along. And
the MacGuffin.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And on top of it, that wasn't weird. Again, I don't think it's weird now, but they specified that wasn't weird for stories back then because if there wasn't an uneven trade, how does your hero ever become a hero?
Yeah, it's kind of like in The Witcher, the Gift of the Unknown or whatever it was that they called it, where it's like the first thing you discover when you return home is what you owe me or something like that, where it's exact same thing. And that, I mean, like The Witcher even played into that where it ended up being pregnancy and the daughter.
Yeah, yeah. And then I also, another thing, in that time period, and we talked about this in the first episode, it wasn't weird to give in to a pregnant woman's ridiculous demands because the pregnant woman was the carrier of a baby. Like we said earlier today on this show, it's easier to make more babies than it is to make more mothers. So that was normal. Mm-hmm. They would always do that. Now, that's not normal now. So I'm wondering, is that not normal now? Because every person in here grew up in America. Is that slightly more normal maybe in places like China 10 years ago where they had that child law where it's like you'd only have one child at a time?
I think they just reenacted. China just reenacted the law too.
I thought they revoked it like last year.
Nah, I think it's still in effect.
Can you double check that? And I'll continue through while you double check that. But I'm pretty sure they revoked it. So unless they reenacted it recently, I thought that was gone. And maybe I might be wrong about that.
I thought they were doing that in spite of, or just over the fact of the population control. But then there was also like a thing where like there was a study where like not enough males were having sex or something.
Yeah.
Like
that. Okay.
Well, about not enough males is why I think they brought it back.
Here it is. So from 1980 to 2015, China had a one child policy. In 2015, they changed it to you can have now three, or they just announced it actually now. So they revoked it in 2015, and then May of this year, so May 2021, they put it back into place, but it's three kids instead of one.
That makes sense. And the reason why they would kill the daughters, it was because males, like I think you'll see in a lot of these stories that we're going to talk about because they're older, males theoretically produce more jobs. And this is all theoretical because they're saying that women can't do the jobs males do. But for a long time, people thought that way. And so for a long time, it was
bullshit.
Like, it's not only bullshit.
Women could do fucking anything they want to do.
I do think there is a certain separation, but I don't think that separation has to do with quality of job. I think like the argument that was made on a whole scale level was not brought up by Joe Rogan. Not brought up. I want to specify that one more time. Not brought up by Joe Rogan, but exemplified by Joe Rogan. And an interesting argument he made in a comedy special where there was a woman who was part of like the Secret Service defense. The men got distracted because they were trying to protect her. And it all went to shit because of that. Was it the woman's fault? Obviously not. Was it the man's fault? Kind of. Fully? No. Men are weak to women. Yes.
Yes.
Men are weak to sexy women. 100%. Men are always weak to women in every single circumstance. False. Now, does that mean if we want to hire women into these kind of jobs, we have to hire gay men? I think also false. I think we need to work on our psychology of pairing of women and men in those high tense jobs and figure out how to go ahead and pick people specifically for those jobs, but also talk about the reality of it. And yeah, dude, for a long time, historically and socially, men had to protect women. We're now just going into an era when women can protect themselves. Men don't know how to catch up. That's going to take time. If you're asking me for like my long-term assessment, it's going to take about 100, 200 years before men realize. But like, yeah, when women can do any of these jobs, but there will always be certain things that biologically certain people are better at. So I'm not saying if you're a man or a woman. What I'm saying is if you're a woman with a higher emotional understanding, of course you should do a job that requires that. And if you're a man who has no emotional understanding, but purely physical understanding, go cut down some trees. Like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you at that point. Like use people to the best of their abilities individually. The world is gray now. People are growing up with all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And we're not going to define those. But in Rapunzel, the maid in the tower is a big thing. And I wonder if currently we still put our maidens in towers that they don't need to be in. Maybe we should let them go to do their own thing. Maybe we need to stop holding on. And I don't think we do it to our equals, women who we view at our same age group even. I think we do it to younger as men. And I think that issue comes from like that father tendency of protection. And that's fine. Protect women. Always do. Call your boys out when they're being bad. If you see a woman getting hit on in a place she shouldn't be, yeah, say something. But at the same time, if you do it purely because you're like, hey, dude, this woman is dumb and she can't protect herself. Well, that's not Rapunzel at all. Because ultimately, Rapunzel saved the day. Her tears, the same way Ash Ketchum's tears saved Pokemon 2000. Her tears are important. And I think that's something that we should remember every single time we talk about these stories. Is like, just because you think he was the prince who saved the day, because he was ultimately, remember whose tears saved it, right? Right.
St. Barbara's.
St. Barbara. Yo, dude, I'm going to open up a barber shop called St. Barbara.
Bring in that rolling thunder.
Hey, Drew, do you have anything else you want to bring in on this?
No, I mean, not that I can think
of. All right, shut the fuck up. Hey, dude, Owen.
Yeah?
Your dick's so big, bro.
Awesome. Why, thank you.
Bigger than the princess in fucking Rapunzel.
No, hey, Drew, what if did we say? No, Drew, don't do that. Start talking.
Wait, say. I'm confused now. You've got me on edge.
Same, dude. Is that edge the edge of glory? Because my name is Lady Gaga, and I just want to tell you all, thank you so much for joining on this episode. Thank you so much for thinking that the Helios Network did something great when they signed my podcast. In about 5 months, they're going to cancel me. But you know what? You know what? When I look at Owen, you know what I see? I see Ted. I see goddamn T-E-D. I see somebody who won't cancel me just because my skin color is the same as Dave Chappelle's. What I see is a man who's looking for truth. A man who's looking for... I'm just kidding, dude. This is mostly about the Helios Network, and this is mostly about Fairly Odd Fairy Tales. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We had the best old fashions in the world. Daddy's got to pee super bad, so I just want to remind everybody, look into anything the Helios Network puts out, because even though they do not subscribe to 100% of what I say, because I say some shit...
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. I 100% subscribe to everything they say because these are good people making some great podcasts for everyone of their niche. And that's what podcasts are about. They're not about being informative. They're not about being honest. They're not about being funny. They're not about being interesting. They're about being what you need them to be and what you want them to be. And that's why I thank the Helios Network for letting me just do this podcast, getting fucking wasted and talking about something that like means something to me. And because of that, I will tell you, remember to be safe, remember to behave, drink and read responsibly, or you might think you're important enough to start a fucking podcast.